people, they don't know you, they don't know YAA, they ask you what you're doing. You got to explain them, what is YAA?
Mm-hmm. So first thing I'd like to say is, it's nothing like school. That's one thing that we try to say, is that we're not like the normal classroom setup. And what we want to do is we want to put our participants in a project-like activity so that they gain the knowledge that we try to get them to on their own, instead of just spinning it to them and hoping that they remember the next time we see them. Also, I would say that YAA is a program that likes to develop the youth itself. Even though we are an astronomy-based program, we try to give the youth future working skills as well, so that they can survive in just the normal lifestyle that they're gonna eventually encounter. Another thing that I like to say about YAA is that it is a program where we bring astronomy and we turn it into so many forms of knowledge that we try to touch as many kids as possible. Like, what I mean is, we try to do kinesthetic activities, which is movement of the body, because some people learn better when they're up and moving because it's easier to pay attention. Or some people like it when you're using your hands. Some people learn through their hands, so we have models that we create just to get them to get through that activity. Or we do computer-based activities because some people like just to play with computers and mess with software and things of that sort. So a couple things that I like to say about the YAA is its versatility and its focus on the participant themselves.
Excellent. That's fantastic. So, but let's just say we're on the street here, and you say you work for YAA.
Uh-huh.
Just explain what the acronym is, what those letters stand for. What is YAA?
All right. So YAA is Youth Astronomy Apprenticeship. And what that means is we want kids that are high school aged. And the reason that we choose high school age is because a lot of people like to focus on the younger ages. And we feel as if you can catch them while they're that young and they stay into it, that's fine. But teenage years is the year in which they're about to switch into adult year. And if you can catch them at that point, then I think it'll be easier for it to stick through their life. But the Youth Astronomy Apprenticeship is for young kids who want to learn something different, because astronomy isn't really taught in schools anymore. You know, the most that I knew about astronomy when I figured out this program was that the moon is up there and we have 8 planets, which I actually thought was 9 at that point in time. And it's an apprenticeship. You know, they take you through the steps on how to use a telescope. They take you to points where you're actually learning about the astronomical objects. So it's a nice program to, you know, develop you as a person.
That's great. Excellent. I hope this is fun, and I'm having fun back here. But so let's say I'm, today at Northeastern, I'm one of the teenagers who's interested in this, but, you know, I'm a little bit nervous. Well, you know, I want to know, what am I going to be doing? Tell me, what am I going to be doing in this program?
All right, so what I'm going to say is, what you're going to be doing is we're going to take you through a bunch of activities. And we're going to take you through from the solar system all the way out to different galaxies. We're going to show you that there's beautiful nebulas out there and that you can take pictures of them and create colored images just by using filters and processing them on a computer. I'll tell you that we'll be making hands-on models of the universe where you can put asteroids, comets, nebulas, or whatever you please. I'll also tell you that we'll be making plays, little skits, so that we can verbally communicate the things that we're trying to get across. We'll also be doing projects in which you get to grab onto a self, something that you're interested in. You get to pick it yourself, and then you further develop it into a more scientifical process, and you actually see yourself develop as you go along with your project. So those are the couple of things that we do with the YA program.
That's excellent. This gets to my next question is, what are the components of YA? Maybe you could just run through them. Like, you know, there's theater, micro-observatory, you know, poster exhibits, after-school sessions, Star Lab. If you could just run through it. So once again, it's like, you know, you're just explain to me as someone who might be joining.
Okay, so some components that we have is the theater component. And what I like to see the theater component is, is a combination of acting and astronomy. Now, some people may think that this is not usual or uncommon, and that's why I think it is amazing, because you are bringing something that is scientifical, something that should be learned in the schools, and you're making it into a play, an active way of performing. Which is great to keep people's attention, because people have a short attention spans, and plays are good to keep them rolling with the play. You could throw a joke in here and there, get their attention back, and then you go back into the astronomy. So I love the theater component. We also have the planetarium, which is bringing the stars to you. So you get inside of this bubble. We put on a projector which has over a million of stars that you couldn't see on a regular day unless you lived in like Maine on a nice, nice dark night. And we show you some of the things that are near them, the constellations they create, you know, just a whole bunch of wonderful things that you wouldn't be able to really connect to because of light pollution or whatever may have you. Another thing that YAA does is we do the exhibit component. Now, exhibit is a great component because it gives the participant a chance to really open up and be creative. Because what the exhibit is you're taking something about a telescope or about an astronomical object, and you're making it simple enough that anybody can understand it. So that's grabbing a big concept, simpling it down into a model in which everybody can say, oh, hey, I get this. I understand now. Another thing that we do is the after-school programs, which is just the training, basically, to get them ready for I can't really say summer anymore because we're not sure if we're doing the summer.
That's okay. But it would have the next step.
Yeah, it would have been a practice for the summer job where we would have gotten more serious and more work-like. So those are pretty much some of the components of YAA.
So can you just maybe give us a brief overview of what is micro-observatory? Why it's great, why it's fun?
I can't believe I forgot micro-observatory. Micro-observatory is amazing. First of all, you get access to real telescopes at any time, anywhere, as long as you have a computer and internet access. Now, micro-observatory can take pictures of objects that are more than 1,000,000,000 light years away. And that's crazy. Also with micro-observatory, you can create colored images of beautiful nebulas, galaxies, stars. It's just one of those programs that it's so welcoming to the public. Like they have a guest portal where anybody can use, whether you have an account or not. They make it so that you can take the colored images if you want. The processing software is free. You can download that. And it's just amazing on what you can actually take pictures of with their telescopes, and it's real telescopes. It's not like you're taking a picture and one of NASA's telescope is sending you an image that they took like 3 weeks ago. It's actually a real telescope taking an image that night and sending it to you within the next couple of days. So excellent. I think that's like the most unique thing about Micro Observatory.
Excellent, thank you. So Philip, here's an important question. Why did you join YAA?
Now, I have to be honest. The reason that I joined YAA was because it had astronomy in it. And this was at the point where I was kind of getting bored of school. because they wasn't really teaching me anything different. And astronomy was something that I never really got a chance to learn. So it was more of an interest. Like, the astronomy part of the program really hooked me in, as in, like, okay, this is knowledge that I haven't been really exposed to. I don't really see myself getting exposed to. So let me do this program, see if I like what I'm learning, and if I enjoy it, then why not stick with it? And it was something that I really did enjoy. I don't really see it as a career, but I definitely see it as a good hobby. And I'm planning on doing some observing for a couple more years of my life.
Excellent. Now, that first year, you were, you know, a YA youth participant. You got to the end, and then you had to present. What's it like presenting to the general public?
Yes. I mean, of course, you get the butterflies in the stomach, you know, the sweaty hands and whatnot, but after that first person comes up to you and you explain what your project is, even after you missed a couple points because you want to hurry up because you're nervous, you said maybe one thing like you called a star a nebula or an accident, but even after all of those, after those couple of mistakes, when that first person goes by, you really feel that accomplishment of what you did and how much people really are interested in what you did. And after that, it was fun. Like, it honestly turned into fun. I started pulling people over. I'm saying, hey, come look what I did. And look at this, you know what I'm saying? And it was really amazing after that first person. As soon as you get that nervous state over, it just takes off.
Excellent, that's great. Take us through the whole process. I mean, there's your first year with YA, but you know, and now you're an intern. But can you just tell us what roles have you played in YAA?
So, starting off as just a participant, I went through the program. I did my final project at the end at Astronomy in the City. I enjoyed it so much, and after that, they asked me if I was willing to be an intern, and well, actually, at first I was a returning apprentice, and I was working at the RCC site. And after I did that semester, then they asked me to be an intern, and I was like, I would love to be an intern, but they made sure that I understood that being an intern comes with more responsibilities. But the responsibilities was something that I didn't mind doing, like keeping the new participants on task and getting new participants into the program and facilitating activities and things of that sort. And that was the thing that I actually wanted to do, because I like facilitating activities. I like getting people to points where they say, oh, now I understand. So when they asked me to be an intern, I was like, hey, let's go. And since that point on, I've been facilitating activities at after-school sites. I've been trying to get kids really interested in astronomy, or at least better than for the future. I've met a bunch of kids in which have really took this program serious and are now doing amazing things. So this is it was a journey, but it was more of like, it was like I already had the trench there, because it was like I wanted to do this, so since they offered me it, it was just, yeah, let's go.
Excellent. What are YAA interns?
So an intern is a person who went through the program and is now helping facilitate programs. And the difference between an intern and a fellow is a fellow would have been like basically certified for the position. And basically what an intern is that we are we're using our experience as a facilitator instead of the knowledge. So what an intern does is he puts himself in the apprentice's shoes. Okay, I once was here. Why some days I didn't want to pay attention? Why some days I really didn't like this activity? What was it about this day that really just didn't really get me into the program. And by us being through the program, we can think in those shoes and we can say, okay, one thing I remember is this day we didn't do an icebreaker and I was bored the whole day. So now as an intern, since I've been through it, I can say, well, I remember this day I was bored. So if we do an icebreaker, maybe everybody get energized and this will keep them moving. Like, it gives us a better understanding of the alternatives we can use to get everybody engaged. So that's what I think the big difference is from an intern and a fellow or just an intern position.
Excellent. How did you grow into this role of being an intern, being a facilitator?
Well, I'm still growing, but it started off with me just wanting to facilitate. And then when I really got into it, I started to see that there's a method to facilitating. And even though the fellows was there and they gave me the little watch out for us, you kind of don't pay attention until you trip yourself. So as I started facilitating, I seen myself tripping and I noticed, you know, what was going wrong and what wasn't really working. And I started connecting to what the fellows were saying. Like, I started listening now. And so then when I started putting it together, I started seeing that once you get the flow of how to conduct an activity, it really just flows easily. You feel more confident and you get your message across much better. So, yeah.
That's excellent. That's great. Well, think about think about someone like, you know, Ross or Tim or Margaret, and before they came to the program, and just like the people who are joining it, who are a little nervous about joining it, they may be a little bit nervous about being a fellow and facilitating. So you're talking to me now. What is it like to facilitate an astronomy class?
Well, facilitating an astronomy, it's weird because astronomy is something that most people aren't used to. So it's weird because, like I said, astronomy is something that people aren't used to. But then again, since they're not used to it, you get a lot of ohs. You know, you get a lot of those breaking moments where they're like, oh, I get it. So it's like, it's hard to explain because no one really was never, not many people was really exposed to it. So there's not a lot for them to grab off of to connect to what I'm trying to tell them. But when you get them to that point where they understand, it's amazing because they didn't have anything to grab on. So when they get it, they're like, wow, you know? So it's one of those balances. It's difficult, but then again, it's worth it.
That's awesome. But what about, there's some challenges of obviously doing this. Obviously one of the big challenges of teaching is behavior management. How do you deal with that in some of the, after school sessions?
So behavior management is definitely a problem. Kids are kids, they're young. But what I like to do is, if the trumping of the voice doesn't work, then honestly, that participant is just probably having a bad day. Then I'll try to pull them to the side. If it's not inconvenient for my session, I'll pull them to the side. Maybe on break time, have a talk with them, see what's going on. And if we can't solve it from there, then even though I would rather not, but I'd usually exclude them from the session because I would rather the majority of the people get what they came to get than to ruin a whole day for one person. So I try to work with them, I try to trump the voice, then I try to have a one-on-one with them, see if we can get to an agreement or an understanding of what's going on. And if that doesn't work, then I give them a day off, let them go home, think about it, regenerate, and hopefully come back with a smile on their face.
Excellent. This is great. Hey, can you cut for a second, Marlon? In this video.
I'm thinking of my early stage of facilitation, and I'm thinking I really like the toilet paper activity. But this definitely brings me back to, like, I think that was like my second time facilitating at a site, and it was definitely tough. I had to overcome a lot of challenges, but it was a fun year, and yeah, I don't know.
Well, why don't we? Let's describe the purpose of this. Let's describe this activity and describe the purpose of the toilet paper solar system. We're probably also going to see some footage of the tour of the universe. So what, you know, what are those activities, and you know, why do you give them to the youth?
Okay, so the toilet paper solar system is to get them to hopefully grab onto something that they were exposed to. Most people know that there's 8 or 9 planets in their solar system. And the toilet paper solar system is to help them realize how the solar system is structured within distance between planets. So as seen in the video, it shows how the smaller planets are more closer to the sun, which was supposed to be more detailed out into, because they're smaller, the gravitation isn't as strong, which means they kind of have to be closer to the sun. And the bigger planets have bigger gravity pulls, so they can be further away and still keep their orbit. But the other thing that the toilet paper solar system is supposed to do, it's supposed to help them understand what a model is. Because a model is a scaled-down representation of something which has a couple of things that it does represent, but it also has things that it doesn't represent, which is why it's a model. Also things that are left out so that the model can show what it's supposed to represent. So that was definitely one of the things that we want to get across when doing the toilet paper solar system, is the characteristics of a model and also of the solar system.
Well, describe, you know, for someone who doesn't know what this is, what is the model that they're creating?
So what we do is we give them 100 sheets of toilet paper, and we scale down the distances between planets to be relative to 100 sheets of toilet paper. So with the sun being the at the beginning and Pluto being at the end, I can't really get exact with the numbers, but I believe, like, the Earth would be 3 sheets away from the sun, but Uranus is like 75 sheets away, or Neptune. But it's basically just so that you can understand the distances that are in planets visually, because you can really see the increase in gaps as you go further out in the solar system.
Great, that's excellent. So it's interesting with toilet paper solar system and tour of the universe and other activities here. You deal a lot with scale. Why is scale so important, and why is it useful?
Well, scale is also a big hammer to the head, where it's like the universe is huge. Like, after you get to a point where you're seeing that the sun, which is lighting up our day, is the size of a sand compared to all the other stars that we have in our galaxy, is mind-blowing. And when you realize that, you get a better understanding of what's around you, because you get to see that you're not, like, your world isn't just the city that you live in. Like, it's not even the planet that you're on. We have galaxies which are millions of light years big that are out there, and people don't even know about them.
Excellent. But these activities are great, but, you know, what do you do as a facilitator to get the students involved and active?
So a couple of things that I try to bring to the table from my previous experience is bringing that kind of you can laugh at me attitude where I'm doing something crazy to catch their attention and I don't mind if they think I'm crazy or, you know, they laugh at me for a little bit because I know that I have their attention at that time. Another thing that I try to do is I try to tweak the activity so that it's more like easier for me to flow with, because I know when I feel comfortable with an activity, then my message get across a lot easier. Also, a couple of things that I try to do is I try to keep it, well, this is something that I actually just, you know, started implementing, was I try to make sure that I have alternatives to different situations, so if I get to a roadblock, I know how to get over it and make sure that the activity keeps rolling, because when you have dead time or dead space, that really hurts you, especially in their eyes, because they lose attention.
So, and have you done anything, are you doing anything different now as a facilitator than from the beginning? You know, what have you learned as a facilitator that has changed the way you're sort of teaching, facilitating these astronomy sessions?
Well, one thing that I've learned is when you plan the day, it works out better. So one thing that I've definitely learned is that I want to get every activity down to its nitty gritty. I also want to make sure that I kind of think from their perspective to see how they might interpret what I'm saying. Because sometimes, like today, I was preparing a speech for the thing that I'm going to later, and I was talking and I said something about 21st century job skills and something else, but after I related to my manager Ross, we sat down and we thought, and it was like, okay, we're talking to high school kids. The chances are they're not gonna really know what 21st century working skills are. So that's when I had to, you know, rethink about what I'm saying to make sure that I get the message across that they can understand. So those are a couple of things that I've definitely tried to incorporate with my facilitation. Well, those are the major things that are kind of standing out right now.
But even when you plan for the nitty, you know, down to the nitty gritty, it doesn't always go, the session doesn't always go as planned. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. Because there's so many variables. Like with an activity, it could be that everybody understands something and they're ready to move on. So then you have extra time. Or it might be that there's someone who really just needs a little bit more explaining, which would increase the time of the activity. And what we try to do with that is we try to create buffer room. Like I'd plan for an activity, I'd give it 15 more minutes. So just in case, if someone needs that extra little one-on-one, I can give them like maybe 5 minutes of that and won't back up our day too much. But it's still something that you have to kind of roll with the fly with sometimes, because you just don't know what's gonna happen. You don't know how they're gonna feel. You don't know what they're gonna say. You don't know what they're gonna think. So being prepared though definitely makes it that much easier, but you just have to be able to go off the fly sometimes when certain situations pop up.
Excellent, that's great. Here, let's cut for a sec, Molly. Let's walk. Can you see me back?
Hey, Phil.
Yep.
We're back here, okay. Phil, now that we've watched a little more video of you, a little, you know, probably a year or two later, how have you changed and grown as a teacher and a facilitator?
Watching that video, I actually noticed how I was more cooperative with them. Also, I really had that understanding that this is their project and that you have to motivate them. you can't do their project for them because then they're not going to get anything out of it. So you have to really push them forward. And I've learned that there's different ways of motivating people. Like with them, I kind of had to put more authority onto it. Like, okay, this is, you guys have to do this, this, and this. And so just to make sure you're prepared for astronomy in the city. And I've learned that with other people, it's more so like they like it when you just give them what they, like give them what they need, like tell them what they're supposed to do and then leave them. And then they'll come up with what they have and just like report back to you. So that's one thing that I learned is the different type of facilitation that you know, some kids are more, I don't know, like more easily to go with, I guess.
And how about the content itself? Do you find that you change the way you help try to facilitate the learning of astronomy?
Well, I've definitely made it so that I was a better resource. I know that with that year, I wanted to make sure that if they had a question, I'd be more likely able to answer it. I also tried to get really personal with their projects. Like, I kind of had a feeling for every project, and sometimes I could even tell how much was done without even going to that project. So I really tried to create a personal connection with everyone so that I could have a better communication style with them. Because I noticed that the first year that I wasn't really too comfortable maybe talking with them or whatever the reason may be. I know that getting personal really wasn't something that I was a fan of. And later on, I noticed that by getting personal with them, they have a better, like they have more confidence in you and they're easier to open up to you so you can understand what's going on and you can better work with them when you have that personal connection.
That's excellent. How has being a facilitator helped you? I mean, how's it help educate you?
Being a facilitator has developed me as a person in so many ways. Like, honestly, knowing that planning for something makes it that much smoother. Like, now I like to be a little more organized with my life. Like, I like to call ahead before I do something. Like, it taught me basic things in life that is just necessary for an easier life. Like, also being a facilitator is, it's done a lot of things for me. Like, it's opened my eyes to see how, like, people interact. It showed me a lot. Like, it really showed me how different people are and how unique you have to be to make sure you can connect with different people. That's one thing that it's definitely shown me. And just that alone, I've learned a lot of things, like how to work with certain people, you know, things of that nature.
That's excellent. And what has it taught you